First Timothy chapter 3, if you would, please. We're going to continue to study church membership, and there's about two or three more messages about this that I want to bring. And really, toward the end of it, we're going to be kind of culminating to a place where we are kind of just as in whole, kind of recommitting. You know, those that are already part of ministries, recommitting to those ministries, making sure that we have a really good, sound paper trail and paperwork, et cetera, for people, and just taking a fresh step in something that is important, and just the organization and running of the church, and it's just good for us to take that step together. As a church and all of those things. And so we're looking forward to that. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the word of God. And here we are in 1 Timothy chapter 3. And let's read this together, verses 15 and 16. And all out loud together here in 1 Timothy chapter 3, beginning together in verse 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. As we get started out tonight, I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to get there in just a moment. Of course, we're understanding that this thing of church membership is multifaceted. It's also multi-leveled, okay? People are going to have to grow into these things, many of these things that I'm saying, but at least what we want is for people to have a desire, okay? A desire to grow into these things. They say, look, all right, Pastor, I don't get all this stuff just yet. I'm not... But I want to learn the scriptures. I want to develop my life, and I want to grow and come along to a place where I can serve how God wants me to serve, or in the capacity that God wants me to serve. When I went to Bible college, I was kind of new to what it meant to be an independent Baptist. I hadn't been in an independent Baptist church for very long before I went to Bible college. Now, I had been a Christian for many years. I got saved when I was almost 9 years old and grew up in a Christian home. But I hadn't been a part of an independent Baptist church before. I was about 19, I think, when I joined. I might have been almost 20 when I joined an independent Baptist church. And I went to college when I was, 22, turning 23. So, I hadn't been in an independent Baptist church very long. When I went to Bible college, I thought, okay, I'm a Navy guy. I've lived on my own. Sure enough, as soon as I graduate Bible college, God will have me be a pastor. Cause I'm a mature man, and I've lived on my own, and I've done these things, and all this stuff. And I thought, if anybody will be called to be a pastor out of Bible college, I will. Because, God knew better, okay? He knew I needed to be a Christian school principal for 16 years before I could become a pastor, before I was ready to become a pastor. And I'll just say all that to say this, is that there were some things that I had to grow up in, even going through Bible college, even through being an older adult individual, I still had a lot of things to learn. And, we all have a lot of things to learn. And that's okay. And as long as we have a heart to learn them and a desire to be teachable, that's one of the greatest attributes a Christian can have, is to have a desire to be teachable. And there's a lot of things in our world today that are worldly wisdom and worldly philosophies that we need to purge with the Word of God. You understand that, right? We need to get those things out of our minds and the Word of God in our minds. There's a lot of things that the world says are okay that God says these things are not okay. And we have to learn that. And then there's some things that the world says, oh, that's not okay. And God says, yes, that's the way it's supposed to be. So we've got to realize that studying church membership and the doctrines that we've studied, the principles that we've studied, the policies that we've studied, the areas of service that we've studied so far, all pertain to what we should all want to become as a member of a local church. And so tonight we're going to very quickly go through another area, and that is the King's Kids program for our church. It's very similar to, if you will, Children's Church, or similar to the Sunday School program. But King's Kids and Track Club are a special program in our Sunday evening services during the school year time that we have. And the focus is the scripture memorization and study of scripture for kids and teenagers. And we want our young people to be taught to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And that's the third part of the Great Commission, right? And we understand that Jesus gave the Great Commission in Matthew 28. Listen, we're to win people to Christ. That's great. We are. And we're supposed to see him get baptized. That's great. But then we don't just leave it there. We got to teach them. And you know what? The same is true with our children. And so the purpose of this program is to provide extra Bible teaching to challenge our children to hide God's word in their hearts so that they might not sin against God, to provide a fun activity time that is also spiritual and productive, to provide a means of reaching new families and new children for Christ, to increase involvement among adults and workers and helpers, thus helping them to grow as well. You know, one of the things that I teach, I still get a privilege to teach in Bible college, and one of the things that I teach teachers, or would-be teachers, and I always tell them the best way to learn is to teach. And because if you have to learn and study and prepare to teach something to someone else, you are then having a greater learning of that thing as well. And that's just a wonderful thing. So as these workers work with the kids in scripture memory, they're getting inundated with the scripture memory again. And so it's just a win-win for everybody and for all of those that are involved. I know for a fact that Brother Dart, all the years that he's taught the track club program for the teenagers, that he has learned a lot of things. Because he has to study and he has to prepare and I give him the teacher book and he gets to go through that. And so he's growing in his faith so that he can pass on to those that are growing in their faith as well something as information as well. So it's a great opportunity for all of those involved. And it's a blessing and a help to our church. And let me just stop and say this. I'm so thankful for all of our King's Kids and Track Club workers. They're a blessing. And it's a blessing to see them working with the kids and helping the kids and teaching the kids different things. And it's just such a blessing to see that happen. We do have a beginner division for 3 years of age and through kindergarten. We have an elementary division for first through sixth graders. And then we have our track club program, which is our 7th through 12th graders. And those are the age groups that we have. And we're so glad to have the different kids and the different teachers and the different workers to work with these kids for this thing. So we have our normal run time of September. So we start the Sunday after Labor Day. And we end... I think we end the Sunday before Memorial Day. Is that right? I think. Yeah, that sounds right to me. And so that's when we run it during the school year and we take the summer off. You say, why do you take the summer off? Because summer's busy. All right. And it's busy enough where we don't need, King's Kids and Track Club, in the summertime. We have camps and we have conferences and different things that we participate in, during the summertime of the year. Now, there's some safety guidelines. And please understand that in every one of our programs, safety is a priority. Okay? We don't know what's going to happen in this crazy world. And you know what? There are people that are trying to get into churches, not only to disrupt them spiritually, But there are some that are trying to get into churches to take advantage of them in other ways. And if you will, take advantage of young people, take advantage of old people, take advantage of regular people, just to take advantage of people in general. They think that churches are soft targets. Okay? The only soft target I know is whatever the bullets that come out of my gun pierce. Okay? That's the only soft targets that I know. So, no, we're not a soft target. We're very aware of what's going on, and we ought to be aware of what's going on. Listen, workers, all of you that are wanting to be workers, nursery workers, altar workers, usher workers, teachers, Sunday school teachers, children's church workers, King's Kids program workers, we all ought to be aware. Hey, just the general church member should be aware. And we want to make sure that we're always looking for the things that could pose a difficulty. Some things may not be, if you will, quote unquote, wrong, but there might be some things that pose a difficulty. And we should, you know what? We should be aware of it. And so those are things that are very important, that we need to realize. Now, for safety's sake, we need to make sure that workers are not alone with a child except their own children. Now, if they're your kids, great. And by the way, for appearances' sake, I can explain that, but I don't really want to have to explain that, okay? If somebody says, oh, Pastor, I saw this lady alone with this little girl. I saw this man alone with this little girl, this little boy. And I was kind of concerned about that. Well, Mr. So-and-so or Miss So-and-so, that's their mom, that's their dad. I can explain that, okay? That's really easy to explain. But, it's best to abstain from the appearance of evil. And you say, well, it's none of their business. They shouldn't be so judgy and all this stuff. Okay, fine. They shouldn't be. But this world is what it is, folks. And we can't stop them from being them. But we can be wise. Wise as serpents, harmless as doves, right? We can be wise. And you know what? Yeah, okay, it takes a little extra work to get somebody to help you do this or help you do that. But listen, we must make sure we abstain from all appearance of evil. When I would teach some of these classes and teach, and of course certainly teach teachers, did you know we should be careful how we handle children? And I'm not saying anybody is a pedophile or anybody is seeking to do that, but if we're above board in how we deal with children, how you give a hug, okay? How you handle children is very important. And listen, I'm for loving people. But we should be careful, side hugs are great. Things like that. Men should not be placing children in their laps, etc., unless they're your own children or grandchildren or etc. Those are things that are important. Why? Because you think everybody's a pervert. No, I don't think everybody's a pervert. But we should abstain from all appearance of evil. We should just be careful. Be wise about how we do things. Students are not to be left unattended or unsupervised. Hallelujah. Okay? A child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame, and the church and the pastor and everybody else. Okay? Listen. Children should be supervised. How many times that I've thought, oh, my kids will be just fine, and then they're not fine. Right? Why? Because they're kids. All right? They should have adult supervision. Adult supervision is a very good thing to do. And so we want to make sure that we are supervising adults. We are not leaving classes unattended. You say, oh, but I forgot that I left my Snicker bar in the car. And it's going to melt. This is Texas, And so, hold on, kids. Go ahead and study your pages for just a few moments. I'll be right back. Okay? Those are the famous last words of every worker ever. Right? Yeah. You come back and, whoa, where's my class?
Well, one had to go to the bathroom, and one had to go over here, and one went to get a toy, and one was chasing a butterfly down the road, you know. No. This Snicker bar is not worth it, okay? Let it turn to chocolate soup. It's okay. You can freeze it and eat it all later, okay? Just be more incorporated that way. It's okay. But we want to make sure that we're always supervising kids. We're never leaving classes unattended. We're careful how we touch and deal with children. It should be always be in an upright, seen manner. Okay? Listen. You know what? People that are looking to get into sin do? They try to hide. Right? They try to cover things up. They try to keep things secret. So you know what? Out in the open is great. Okay? It's just a great thing to do. And it's a great thing to follow as far as dealing and working with kids. After King's Kids, we make sure that we get all the children to church. That's great, right? Anybody tried to herd cats or herd chickens, all right? Yeah. It's quite a thing to do, you know, to accomplish. But you know what? Not only should we try to get them to church workers, we should try to get them to their families. Okay, if at all possible, get them to their families. All right, so let's get them in the door. And don't just say, okay, ready, set, go. All right, just try to, even if you try to make eye contact, hey, mom, there's daughter. Hey, mom, there's you know, child, son, whatever. And so we want to make sure that we get all the children into church and to their families. All right, because guess what? In our program, the next thing we do after track club and King's Kids is church, okay? And we want everybody to be here, etc. Now, just because they're teenagers doesn't mean we don't have to do these things. Actually, the truth is, just because they are teenagers, we should be a little more diligent in these things. Right, teenagers? Huh? Yeah. So we should do our part. And guess what? That's just the responsible thing to do. And by the way, doesn't God want us to be responsible? Absolutely. Absolutely. God wants us to be responsible. Now, everyone is supposed to be in their place at our church. That's an amazing thing, right? But we all have a place. There's not supposed to be people wandering around, right? And if there's somebody wandering around or not in their place, it's okay to say, hey, aren't you supposed to be somewhere, you know? Hey, it's church time. Come on, come into church, you know? Because we are all supposed to be in a place. And if you don't want to be where you're supposed to be, then go somewhere else. I'm okay with that, right? Because you know what? Folks just wandering around, you know what that causes? Yeah, could cause distractions, but it also is kind of a red flag, a little warning. We need to make sure that people are where they're supposed to be. And so this includes church members, this includes visitors, people, you know, just, and you don't have to be rude, and you don't have to be mean, but you just look, we just want everybody to be safe. We want everybody to be where they're supposed to be, when they're supposed to be there. That's not a hard ask. That's a pretty easy thing. And so we want to do our best to make sure that these things happen. Now, another thing that we want to work with our teenagers, or excuse me, our young people in our King's Kids program and Track Club program is I always want our workers to give their best to the kids. Their full attention, their full effort. And listen, one of the things as a King's Kid and a track club worker is you should study the material just as hard as the kids do. Yeah. When I was a King's Kids worker, I would try to memorize the same verses the kids were memorizing. You know what that shows the kids? That you're invested. Invested in the work. Brother Dart, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but there have been times in my time as a teacher where I felt the need to take the same test that the kids took. And you know why I felt that need? Because I wanted to make sure I was doing my best in teaching the material. Like, can I pass this test? I kind of took it as a challenge, you know? I'm expecting these kids to pass the test, but can I pass the test? And thankfully I did. Barely, but I'm bad, you know, I passed. But you know, that's a good mark for workers to hit. And so workers, be attentive to that and always give your best. Obviously you're giving your best to the Savior, but we want to make sure we give our best to the kids as well. Now, with that said, I want to kind of move into the Sunday school teacher realm. If you will, a little bit more advanced. This would be something in the idea of a level four of the levels of leadership. And we want to make sure that we understand that as we grow in our maturity, we grow in our responsibility. And so there you are in Ephesians chapter 4. You're there with me. Look at verse 1. Paul says, and by the way, you could actually study through Ephesians 4, 5, and 6 to kind of get the whole thrust of what it means to be a real dedicated member of the local church, right? And so look at Ephesians 4, verse 1. And it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. By the way, I love that statement. That means he's bound, right? That he is, God has all of his attention. When you're the prisoner of someone or something or an entity, if you will, you don't have any freedom, right? You're the prisoner. You're subject to whatever they subject you to, right? And so he says, I'm the prisoner of the Lord. By the way, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Who would you rather be prisoner to? Yeah. I mean, the Lord, right? He's the best kind of a prison warden that you could ever ask for. And so the prisoner of the Lord, he says, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Now, does this sound all inclusive? Yes, it does. Okay. And by the way, that's what a church member should want to be. You say, but Pastor, I've got some shortcomings. I've got some things I got to work through. Sure, I understand that. But do you want to be this kind of a Christian? Yes. Eventually. Well, good. I can work with that. Okay? And so we want to make sure that we are answering the call of God. He says here but unto every one of us is given according, giving grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he is ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, by the way, no more apostles here on this earth. One of some of the qualifications of being an apostle is you had to physically see the Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody's physically seen the Lord Jesus Christ? Nope, no apostles. Okay, there you go. And so he said some apostles. He said, and some prophets. Okay. By the way, any prophets around today? Only in other religions. Okay? Not in ours. Why? Those prophecies, it says they shall cease. When what? When that which is perfect is come. Ta-da! Here it is. And so we have that which is perfect. So the prophecies, prophets are done. And so he says some prophets. And then he says, moving along, I just lost my spot. There it is. Some evangelists. Are evangelists still around? Yes. Yes, evangelists are still around. And so there are still some evangelists that, and by the way, evangelists are the sheepdog, if you will, of the congregation or the flock. And they go around nipping at the heels of the sheep, right? Because what sometimes do the sheep do? They grow dull to the shepherd's voice, right? And so what does a sheepdog do? Yip, 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 right? And gets them back in line. And so that's basically what evangelists do. And they go around and they help the local church. And he says, and some pastors, are there still pastors? Yeah. We still have pastors. I think pastors are great. Do y'all think pastors are great? I mean, I hope so. Amen. Pastors. And then it says, and teachers. All right. Now, there are some that kind of lump the pastor and the teacher. A pastor is supposed to be apt to teach. By the way, a pastor is a teacher. But there are also other teachers in the local church as well. All right. And we call them Sunday school teachers. Right. As I teach teachers, I teach them that everyone really is a teacher. Parents, you're teachers, right? You're teaching your children, right? That's something that parents do. Even, if you will, folks in the church, grandparents, you're teachers, right? You've already taught your children, and now you're teaching your grandchildren. We're teachers. There are mentors in the faith. There are deacons, and there are people. By the way, those are teachers, too. We're all supposed to be teachers. By the way, when the Great Commission is given, that we're supposed to go and teach all nations, the Christian is supposed to be a teacher. And so teachers are things. It is a calling of God, if you will. And it's something that we're supposed to do and do it well. He says here, what is all this for? It's for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So at whatever level you teach, and I think we can agree that there are different levels of teaching, but we're all, if you will, supposed to be part of this teaching part of the Christian life, then we've got to realize that there's a purpose behind it. And that purpose is to is to edify the body of Christ, is to come into the unity of the faith, and is to come into the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And that's what teaching is for. And so we're supposed to be a part of that as we learn and as we serve as a teacher. So at Lighthouse Baptist Church, we desire to provide an opportunity for as many people as possible to serve the Lord through various ministries. However, we must remember that above all else, that the church is the Lord's, and therefore everything must be done decently and in order, with behavior that is fitting of the church of the living God. Our text that we've been reading these many Sunday nights, it says that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And so with that said, whether a church is large or small, things ought to be done decently in order. They ought to be done right because we are serving the great King. Okay, this is God's house. This ought to be done God's way. So Lighthouse Baptist Church ought to be a great church because it's Christ's church. That's why. Not because Lighthouse Baptist Church is great, because the Christ of Lighthouse Baptist Church is great. And so these things should be done in such a way. Now, just as all great corporations and even great nonprofit organizations have a list of expectations and standards for their employees or volunteers, Lighthouse Baptist Church has some basic standards or expectations for those who serve in our ministries. While anyone is welcome to attend our church, those who serve in leadership or ministry positions represent the church in a unique way. Just as visitors judge the church by what they see in the pastor, they will also judge the church by what they see in our Sunday school teachers, music ministers, ushers, nursery workers, King's Kids workers, children's church workers, altar workers, etc. And so, is that a true statement? That's a true statement. Now, these guidelines, I love this because you know how much I love this word. These guidelines and expectations are not legalistic. Okay? Do you know what legalism is? It's adding the law to salvation. Okay, that's really what the definition of it is. Or adding works, if you will, to adding anything to salvation, which is a free gift, right, of no merit, is legalism. And that's not, we're not changing the requirements for salvation. But what we're doing is we're saying, because you are saved, you should live a certain way. And guess what? I'll just give you a little secret here. It's not the Baptist way. In other words, the Baptists didn't concoct or create this thing. We have adopted it as ours because it's what the Bible says we're supposed to do. And how the Bible says we're supposed to live. So now it has become the Baptist way. Does that make sense? The Baptist didn't make it up. Now, if you go to another church, if you go to another religion, you can say that's the whatever way because they made it up. And they were the ones that sit down, okay, let's have this as rule number one, and let's have this as rule number two. And, well, what does the Bible say? Well, we don't care. We're going to make our own rules. And that's what they do. But we have these Baptist things that are Bible things, but they're Baptist things because they're Bible things. Okay? And I know that was all confusing, but it was meant to be. I do that on purpose. Okay? Now, so these are common standards in uniformity because our ministry is supposed to be that way. Do you remember what Paul said here? He said that we can all come in the unity of the faith. That's what this is for. And by the way, a church is supposed to be unified, is it not? Absolutely. And so these things are important to remember. Now, some things may be particular preferences, but they're going to be reasonable preferences. But most of the things are going to be things that are either doctrinally stated or idealistically stated or principally stated in the scriptures. Now, we desire to serve the Lord cheerfully. The Bible says that his commands are not grievous. Let's talk about tithing and giving. Tithing and giving should not be done grudgingly or of necessity. Why? Because God loveth a cheerful giver. And by the way, the same is true about service in the local church. It should not be done grudgingly or out of necessity. You should be doing it because you want to. You should be doing it because God wants you to. And that's why you should be doing it. Now, so as we look at these things, we want to be a consistent example to our visitors, to our children, to new converts, and to new members, but also we want to be a consistent example to all the old members too. Because you know what old members need? They need to see what they've always seen, if you will. They need to see the consistency, and they need to see, hey, you know what? We're not moving off of these things. We're staying the same. We're staying the course. Because you know what? Unfortunately, churches sometimes get off course. The longer they sail, they sometimes get off course. You know what? We need to try to stay the course and toe the line, if you will, so that we don't end up shipwrecked. We want to stay the course. Now, the first thing that's important to know about being a Sunday school teacher or in these different services is we need to have the right spirit and attitude. You know, that means a lot. It really does. And can I tell you something? It's probably the number one thing that people can sense when they come into a ministry is the spirit and attitude of the people there. And let me just brag on y'all for just a little bit, okay? I have heard some wonderful things over the last 4.5 years here as pastor from visitors that have come to our church. And you know what they've said? That is the friendliest, nicest church we've ever been to. And that's because of you. And can I say thank you? Thank you. I really mean that. And you know what? Because it's great. And they can say, I can tell those people really love the Lord. I can tell those people are really happy to be there at Lighthouse Baptist Church. And you know what? Thank you. And if you've been faking it, thank you. But if it's been real, thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay? No. But you know what? That's not coming from me and from what I've said about you. That's coming from what people say. And by the way, I don't even ask them, hey, what'd you think about our church folks? No, they just offer that because they've been affected by it. It's real to them. But your spirit and your attitude. As a church, we make up one body of many members working together for the cause of Christ. By the way, don't raise your hand, but how many of you have been to the church that wasn't that way? Where you could cut the tension with a knife. You know, old brother so-and-so has been having a feud with old brother so-and-so for 10 years now. And when you walk in the door, you might get shot with friendly fire or maybe not friendly fire. You know, I mean, it just feels like it. You just feel the laser bullets coming through the eyes, you know, and you're just in the crossfire. And it's like, whoa, man, I wonder what he did, you know. No, it shouldn't be like that. The church will be hurt, if you will, if we handle our ministries and interaction with each other less than a spiritual manner. Hey, by the way, remember, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one. Okay? And listen, there should be the unity, there should be the bond of peace. That's what should embody a local church. And it's got to come from the leadership. And it has to come from the fellowship. Listen, it's got to come from all of us. Verses 2 and 3 here, I read here, that we're supposed to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You know what that is? That sounds like work. That sounds like, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. It sounds like Christianity. Who'd have thunk it, right? That a church should behave in such a manner. And can I say something to you? This is all just information, if you will, and you all, for the most part, as far as I know, do this well. And I'm, if you will, I'm proud of you. I'm excited to be a part of this body of believers. I think we have a great spirit here. I really do. Now, could it always be better? I suppose. And if it would be better, I mean, we just pour chocolate syrup and cherries over this thing and it'll be good. So, you know, that's how it all would be better, right? Chocolate syrup and cherries make it all better, right? No? Yes? Okay, I thought so. This is how we ought to be. So our spirit and our attitude matter. By the way, if we have a problem, which I'm not saying there's no problems at Lighthouse Baptist Church, but if we have a problem, did you know that there's a way to handle that? There's a biblical way to handle that. You know what you do? You go to the person and you talk to them and you try to work it out. And if you can't, then you get other people involved that are, if you will, spiritual. Because what's the idea? To restore, right? Restoration. And then, you know, if you have to get the pastor involved, if you have to get the deacons involved, you know, you go through the steps to properly. And then if you can't get it resolved and you're trying to get it resolved, then you bring it to the church. And then there's a way to go about things. You know, there's a way not to go about things. Well, you know, sister so-and-so did this to me. Oh, you know, brother so-and-so did this to me. That's not the way to handle it. Okay? That backbiting, that murmuring, the complaining. You know, well, you know, if brother so-and-so, you know, or if, man, if the pastor, you know, if he would. Oh, boy. I'm not perfect. But there's a way to handle things. And it's to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. He says we're supposed to do it with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another. By the way, I need a lot of forbearing. I think we all do, don't we? In love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, let's see here. Oh, boy. Spirit and attitude. That's only number one. Okay. Let's just do number two, and then we'll get into the rest of this next time. Number two is Christian behavior. Okay? The Bible says that they were called Christians first in Antioch, right? Why were they called Christians? Because they looked like Christ, they acted like Christ, they talked like Christ, they did the things Christ did, they didn't do the things, right, that Christ didn't do. They were little Christs, right? They were Christians. And they were Christ-like in their behavior. And can I tell you something? That leaders and church servants and representatives of Lighthouse Baptist Church and her head, the Lord Jesus Christ, should live like Christ. That's just the way it should be. It is important for us to live a Christian life at church. Yes. You say, oh, that's easy, Pastor. You see us all, we're all dressed right. We all look right. You know, we're not cussing and carrying on. And, you know, we're doing the right kinds of things. You know, we didn't bring any illegal substances or things to church. That brings a funny story to mind, but I'll save it for another time. But we're good. Newsflash. At church is not where your behavior is the only place it's supposed to be good. Last I checked, it's best to just be who you are all the time. And to have the same behavior all the time. So therefore, it is important that in it, that we live a Christian life at church and away from church. Otherwise, it will be our church's testimony and the testimony of the Lord will be hindered. No church leader or volunteer should be involved with things that are detrimental to a Christian's testimony. By the way, I can read a verse to you. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, only at church, which is your reasonable service. Is that what it says? Not quite. No, it just says it's your reasonable service. By the way, only if you are a higher level volunteer. No, it doesn't say that either. Okay. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we need to make sure that we are doing our very best to follow the guidelines for good Christian behavior everywhere. At home and at church. It's an important thing for a Christian to be a Christian all the time. And by the way, not my definition of a Christian, not your definition of a Christian, not the world's definition of a Christian, not this church's definition of a Christian or another church's definition of a Christian, but the Bible definition of a Christian. And that's important for those who are, if you will, the face of the franchise. The teachers, the leaders, those that the kids are looking up to. By the way, which one of you would want to confuse a little kid? Oh, Sunday school teacher. Oh, yeah, at church, you look nice and you look the part, but I saw her at Walmart and she didn't look the same. You know, sometimes kids are brutally honest. My kids, we've taught our kids that men are men and women are women. And so my girls sometimes, they don't know to keep quiet. And they'll, you know, they think they're being quiet. My wife has been embarrassed by this before. Mommy, why does that man have long hair? You know, And they just say it as loud as can be. You know? Or you know, Mommy, is that a boy or a girl? I can't tell. You know, it's like, you know, just, what do you do? You know, shh. But you know what? Why should that be said of a Sunday school teacher? Or the pastor? I mean, honestly, what would you think if I were walking down an aisle of Walmart with a case of beer? I'm just helping the other guy out to his car, you know, I'm trying to be a servant. That ought not to be, right? So why would we be any different away from church than we would be at church? And you know, that's confusing. So if it's confusing to a little kid, how do you think it is to lost people? Or how do you think it is to other church members or young church members or young converts, new converts? Folks, we should be the same in our Christian behavior everywhere we go. And that's a biblical principle. It's why it's for unity. It's for the bond of peace for the local church. Well, we have much more to cover. I know that these are difficult topics, and I know they're somewhat uncomfortable, but can I tell you something? They're completely 100% biblical. And it's how it just ought to be. And we all need to get to the place where we are concerned with what it means to be a member of the local church, because we represent Jesus Christ. It's so very important.